This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast. Welcome back to Eldermorn, everybody.
Eldermorn.
I'm your Dungeon Master, Brian Murphy, joined by Jake Hurwitz.
Honk Honky and his Shadow Shonk Shonk Fish.
No.
This time I wrote a
I got lambasted last time when I tried to bring it back on the rail. Everybody was mad.
I was on your side, dude. I was on your side.
You're trying to please everyone. You're a waffler.
I'll try again next week. Okay. I'll try again next week.
We do have Emily Axford.
Fia Boginia.
Yes.
Master of books and unblinking looks.
Very
You're
good.
Bonk, bonk, yonk, yonk,
yonk. Unfair.
Nope, nope. Then, of course, we've got Caldwell Tanner.
Oh, Zerk Vervain, friendly kindler of fiery bolts, descended from a swindler of country dolts.
Ooh.
Honk, honk, honk.
Yeah, there he
Maybe
is.
Maybe that's what it is. We just give our names and then we just go honk, honk.
Okay, all right, I'll come correct next week, I promise.
Okay.
Perfect, yeah.
Very
when
good.
You're done, when you're done, you give a polite honk.
That's how you introduce yourself.
Fia Boginia, master of books and unblinking looks. Honk.
Whoa, that was a polite honk. That was a very polite
honk. That.
Okay. You got to start
that
every combo with a polite
honk.
That was like letting you know that the light has turned and you need to move.
Okay, everybody, let's do a little recap.
Ooh, yeah.
So last time, you all rushed from the dungeons to the chapel on the edge of town where an execution was taking place. Madam Whitlock was looking to make an example of Sib with a Reaper-style ceremony in which a victim is placed on a set of scales and lowered into a pit with a horror. In this case, a slug-slash-toad hybrid called a Toadlamax. The sight of the scales triggered a memory in Fia, where we learned that she was once set to be executed in a similar fashion, but was saved at the last second by the Blade Witch Batilda. Zerk had deja vu as well, using skills he learned from his swindling alchemist mother to read the crowd and get a bunch of them on your side. Together, you were able to halt the execution and free Sib, but the ensuing battle against the Whitlocks has proven quite troubling. After throwing Madam Whitlock in the pit with the Toadlamax, Fia was thrown in herself. Henry was then knocked out by Fergus and had a vision where he fled conflicts across several lifetimes. An older version of himself warned Henry that he couldn't die because he was close to breaking the curse. Things were looking grim for the Choo Choo crew until Fia was able to save Madam Whitlock from the Toadlamax, convincing her goons to stop attacking her allies. Still, Fergus Whitlock carried on the fight, and no amount of Zerk's crossbow bolts or Sib's daggers seemed to be bringing him down. With a mighty blow of his hammer, Fergus was able to bring Zerk within an inch of his life, but he stays standing. There is still hope yet, and that is where you are now.
Whew. We really gave it our all, huh?
Yeah. Our friend Henry is knocked out. Zerk is at 1 HP with Fergus bearing down on him. Fia is in this pit with Madam Whitlock, both of them in great danger. And with that is actually the Toadlamax's turn. Fia, I would like for you to go ahead and roll me a pure luck check. You are down here with several goons and the Baroness. So go ahead and roll me a D6. A 1 means he goes after you.
5.
Okay. I'm going to go after the one guard that's down here. You see this thing wraps its tongue around this one guard. You see rush of necrotic energy. You see this dude's head just explodes. He dies straight up just from dealing with this horror.
Was it not book guy?
It was one of the town guards that was with the rooks.
Wow, Willie!
Right, that was Wow, Willie.
Sweet, that's the end of the round. We're back to doing ally checks to see which ally will assist you. Jake, go ahead and roll me a d4.
Come on, 2. 3.
3. That is Marcy.
Marcy! Hey. She was a little hungover. She's been drinking all day. A little late to join.
Slow on the uptake.
I'm going to say Fergus is like kind of on a separate part of the battlefield from like a lot of you other guys right now. I'm going to say Marcy can jump in and help with the toad. So go ahead and Jake make 2 attacks on the toad from Marcy.
All right.
Fia, you see Marcy jumps into the pit and makes two swings down on him.
Marcy crit.
Ooh!
How many times?
That is one nat 20 and the other was a natural 14.
A natural 14. Okay. Both are going to hit.
Can I rouse the Baroness to witness this, to try to be like, wow, that would be a good person to have in charge of your police department.
Yes, yes, whatever. Just get him the fuck away from me. He swallowed me. He ruined my fucking parasol.
At least you wore black.
So Marcy crits on this thing and is going to do fucking 17 damage to this toad.
Whoa.
All right. Back up to initiative 19. That is Sib. Fergus has swung and broken your rib, Zerk. Is about to swing down on you again. You see Sib emerges from behind him, attempts to stab him again. Caldwell, go ahead and roll the first attack. Roll a d20.
You sure about this?
I'm sure. They roll a d20. They get a plus 6 to hit.
Okay. Ooh, all right. Plus 6. Wow. Shout out to the two crew.
Yikes.
How do we roll so many goddamn twos?
I don't know. Into Fergus. Fergus does not lose a fucking step. Keep swinging down. Emily, go ahead and roll another d20 for Sib.
Okay. I'm rolling my best dice. Who's performing the most interesting today? Shout out to the three crew.
No.
Oh, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Zerk, you see they stab again, and Fergus just does not fucking respond. Henry, that is your turn.
You
go
have
ahead.
To stop using prop knives.
Go ahead and roll a death saving throw.
Jesus. Shout out to the two crew. What the fuck?
Two death save fails. Jesus, Henry's on death's door.
What the fuck?
Chugga, 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 chugga. Two.
That is Madam Whitlock's turn. Madam Whitlock is barely alive, just covered in this crazy gunk and dirt. Just goes, and goes forward with her parasol and takes some swings at this toad. Shout out to the two crew on the first attack. Crits on the second attack.
There you go.
And hits on the third attack. 14 damage to this toad. It needs to make a constitution saving throw to not be dazed. It fails. It is dazed. It is going to get disadvantage on its future attacks. That is Sebastian's turn. Sebastian is knocked out but alive. Fia, that is your turn.
Hang in there.
Am I close enough that I can climb out of the pit and try to attack Fergus?
You can make an athletics check to get out of the pit, certainly.
Okay, I will do this.
Okay, I'm going to say DC 15 to get out of the pit.
11 plus 5 is 16.
Yes.
Fia, wow. You jump up. You barely are able to get up. You see that when Sib jumped down there, they left one of their daggers in the wall. And you're able to grab onto that and pull yourself up. And you get up. You see Fergus about to swing down on Zerk. You see Mr. Henry is knocked out.
I have no spells to give to Mr. Henry, so I will just try to attack Fergus.
Go ahead and make your attack.
3... Plus 5 plus 1 is not going
to
be enough.
Yeah, you go to slash him. You see he's wearing a breastplate. The blade clanks off the metal. And that is the goons' turns. There are still two goons alive.
Hey.
Sweet. One of them hits twice. 14 damage total to the toad. Toad is fucked up. That is
nice.
Zerk's turn.
All right.
This dude's swinging down on you. You're barely alive. You're dazed. You see Fia and Sib hanging on to this dude, just stabbing into him and him not responding.
I beckon for him to come closer, and I say, I know people like you. You're just a mark. You do whatever your sister tells you to do. She's the one around here you gotta worry about. I've known people like her. She's dangerous. But you're a dime a dozen. And I'm going to try and, as I'm distracting him with this talk, try and prepare a firebolt to blast him.
Sweet. You pull out your crossbow. Go ahead and shoot a fiery bolt at him.
Come on.
That's a 20.
Dirty 20. Okay, you hit.
Oof, I'll take a dirty 20.
You hit him.
Oh, yeah.
No shame in a little dirt.
Zerk, I'm going to tell you right now, he's got 8 HP left.
Okay, here we go.
You don't get to
add anything to this. It's just a straight D10.
Come on.
I whisper a quick little message to Spritel and say, I'll promise you whatever you want if we can get out of this, okay?
You see Spritel zips over to Henry.
Cool. That's a 9.
Wow. Oh my god.
Bolt goes directly into Fergus's heart. You see for a moment, almost in like protest of his own body, is still trying to lift his hammer. And you see he drops to one knee, drops his hammer, literally lifts out his hands and is trying to like claw your face, and just dies at your feet. Fergus is dead.
It's been a pleasure, but we've got another town to get to.
Fergus is dead. That was Fergus's turn. That is the Toad's turn.
Fuck me.
Toad makes makes attacks with disadvantage because he's dazed. Misses Madam Whitlock. At the end of the round, go ahead and roll me a ally check because they can try to bring you up with a medicine check.
Not bad. All right. That's a 1.
1 is Willy.
Willy.
Willy runs over and starts doing chest compressions on Henry and goes, Mr. Clerk, you gotta stay with me, man. You gotta stay with me. Willy is going to go ahead and make a wisdom check. He has a +0. He needs to roll a 10 or higher to stabilize Henry.
He's right. Made of glass, but he's got a heart of gold.
That is a natural 20.
Oh my god, Willy!
Henry, Willy! I'll say with a nat Willy. 20 medicine check, Henry, you bounce back up with 1 HP. You see for a second, it looks like a younger version of you, like your son, like little Henry is standing over you.
Hey. Hey, little Hank, that's you? Is that you, Henry?
Well, no, Mr. Clerk. My name is Willy.
Oh, right.
Remember you punched me in the face?
I'm not crying.
Yeah, neither am I.
Okay.
I did my duty, sir. I did my duty.
You're a good kid. Willy.
I did my duty, sir.
You did. You really did.
Mr. Henry, the rain seems to find your face the most.
That's right.
You see, Willy holds you in his arms. You have popped up. That is Sib's turn. Sib is going to look to you, Fia, and go, we still helping this Baroness?
I feel as though I made a promise.
Sib goes over, is going to toss 2 daggers down at the Toad. You see, as you go over to the edge of the pit, Madam Whitlock once again is grabbed by the Toad Lamax and is about to be swallowed. You see Sib leans over the edge, one in each eye, and the Toad drops.
And that's what I call assault.
You guys have lived to fight another day and have freed Thornkirk from the threat of the Whitlocks. You hear a cheer go up. You see the Baron stumbles to his feet and goes, let us celebrate at my keep! Port and dressage for all!
All be right. Careful about combining the two, though. Being on a dancing horse when you are drunk can lead to projectiles.
Port for some, dressage for others!
Hooray!
Zerk coughs up a little blood.
Fia is kind of hearing like, oh, the threat of the Whitlocks, and she's starting to wonder if it is bad that she helped Madam Whitlock.
You don't get the sense that it's bad that you helped Madam Whitlock. In fact, you see, there's been basically a mini revolution here, right? You see, as people kind of gather themselves, you see Sib is talking to a bunch of the rooks, and you see that Madam Whitlock, without, you know, the crown behind her, without these guards supporting her, they've just been inspired to essentially turn on her. Without her guards, without half the rooks, without Fergus intimidating the sort of more neutral rooks who didn't want to take a side. She's got very few supporters right now. She's very weak. You see the few remaining supporters of Madam Whitlock help drag her out of the pit. She's all muddy and just like yelling at like her few handlers. You see they quickly just kind of usher her off towards the town.
She's just a regular lady now with a regular umbrella.
I was going to say, I do want that umbrella.
Let's swap it out for us. You, hey, Hey!
Excuse me?
You see she turns to you just like covered in mud and toad gunk and just goes, what? What could you possibly ask of me?
Oh, I could maybe ask thank you for saving my life. Do you not recall me dragging you from the pit of a Toadlamax stomach? Or was I the only one present during that moment?
I saw that. I only died briefly, okay. And I witnessed. Yeah.
Two people see this. Okay, three people see this. Interesting.
Did anyone see you push me into that pit?
You were asking for it. You were taking your parasol at my friend here, and it made him not feel good.
Your brother was hammering me like a nail at that moment in time.
Madam Whitlock, I have a habit of giving the benefit of the doubt to people who let me down. I don't know why I tried. It was strategic, but there is part of me that does not want you to just be a piece of shit. Am I so foolish?
You see, she takes her parasol, she breaks it over her knee, and she tosses it at your feet. There. It's all yours.
I look shocked. I pick it up, tears in my eyes. Madam Whitlock, why would you do this to me? I am just a witch who saved your life. And I cast Mending on it and then swirl it around perfectly together.
She just goes, get me out of here, goddammit! And just yells at a bunch of her goons.
Okay, so yet again, I invest in someone who is nothing.
You see, They take her and they start walking off.
Hey, don't worry, you showed mercy. That's really cool.
I agree. I think it is better to be a hopeful fool who is sometimes right than a cynic who is sometimes wrong. So this is okay for me.
Yeah, we got to help where we can. Speaking of, how are people on this battlefield looking?
Generally, mostly around Fergus is where a lot of the like serious violence happens. Like other people, like other townsfolk, like, you know, hurt themselves and whatnot. Like there's definitely people who need to be patched up. The only real fatalities are like the people who got eaten by the Toad Lamax, the dude that the Baron killed. There's only been like three people killed. And most of them were by the Toad Lamax.
Oh, you know what we should do? May I signal to Sib? And also my werewolf.
This werewolf, Randall, comes over, kind of hunched over in werewolf mode.
Randall, I'm going to introduce you to someone. You might want to wash away some of the blood around your mouth.
Oh, right, yeah. No, I killed somebody too. So, sorry about that, everybody.
You see, Randall ate two people.
Oh, one more than the Baron. Good.
Was that before the battle or after?
That was mid battle, I think, and then a little bit after the truce was called, this one guy was like,
"You just had to finish."
He was finished. Right. So
you're still holding the arm.
Yeah, you're not going to leave meat on the plate. Good man. Exactly. All right.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to make an introduction for you. So maybe put down the severed arm.
Okay, great.
You see, Sib comes over, and they go, "Well, great job, buds. I guess thanks for saving my life or whatever. I guess I owe you."
I can tell you're framing it with sarcasm, but you mean it. And
guess I really value you, and I'm glad you came here, and I wasn't expecting anyone to save me, but then you did.
I have a hard time reading people's inflections, but with you, it is an open book. I always understand what you're saying.
That's interesting, because I'm trying to be so guarded. Truly trying to be so guarded.
Well, Sib, I wanted you to meet a friend of mine because you, I think, will occupy an important space in Thornkirk going forward. And I want you to meet Randall. He is my friend. He is a werewolf. And, you know, there are some very good werewolves who live around Thornkirk. And maybe you can be friends.
You see Sib's eyes widen they shake Randall's hand. Randall's like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, we just started a family out here. We're trying to get in, you know, into the best werewolf preschool, but that's you know, not easy.
I turn to you, Mr. Henry and Mr. Zerk. Is this a good first impression? I'm trying to understand.
As good as possible, I'd say. Just like, yeah.
I'm just thinking about diapers in preschool and it's kind of welling up, so I just not.
So, you see Randall and Sib and all the others join this kind of crowd that is heading over towards the Baron's Keep.
Well, Mr. Henry, would you like to go? Maybe we will find an Another hot pot or two?
Yeah, you know, I could use a hot plate to heat up some stones and do a hot stone massage on my lower back or something, or maybe...
And I would love to just rip the winter protection off of the pool and go for a dip.
You know, if we could heat that pool, I could really go for a soak.
If you could plug in all your hot plates and put them in the pool.
Bookvar goes, no, don't let her anywhere near the pool.
Bookvar, such a coward. Even after the battle, you're a coward. We win the battle, and you're too much of a coward.
That's death, miss.
Thea sprints off to an action
We need to save her. We must
save
her.
She took my plate. My hot plate.
Mr. Zerk, we need to save her.
Okay. All right, let's go. I have the ability to make fire at any time. I don't know why. We're relying on the hot plate, but yes, let's go.
Do not plug it in, I beg of you.
You all at Bookvar give chase to Fia as she rushes to certain doom.
She's so fast.
You head to the Baron's Keep. You see that the gates are open. People are rushing in. You see guards are taking down the Petty King's banners. Some of Sebastian's bannermen begin the process of removing Madame Whitlock's stuff and restoring Fenro's Keep. You see that right now, it seems like the guards and whatnot are willing to put Sebastian back in his keep. However, you do know that he has technically been stripped of his lands. You do have that note that you can drop off at the rookery if you'd still like to try to get him some help. If not, you can kind of just either let him figure it out on his own in the coming days, or maybe the Petty King will just send another royal to take his place.
What is the rookery? Is it another bar for the rooks?
No, the rookery is like a place where they keep the like ravens and stuff.
I mean, we could drink there. I guess that would technically make it a bar.
I would love to get drunk around a bunch of messenger ravens.
Oh, we could drunk message
they
people.
They wouldn't make fun of me for bringing a book.
We could also get drunk before and kind of go there late night and send like drunk. Yeah, we'll do like drunk
drunk
scrolls.
Okay, so you guys are not sending the letter.
We're going to, but
we're gonna do it later.
We were gonna do a soak first.
Okay, I will hold you to it. If you guys remember, you remember. If you don't remember, you don't remember. I'm not gonna remind you.
No.
You guys see?
I write it across my forehead to remind them, right underneath the baby bangs.
Great. Now it's my fault if I forget.
You guys see? This big party has broken out. You see, the Baron breaks out his dancing horses. And puts on a show for everyone.
I did not expect them to be wearing dresses, but, you know, I guess that's on me. It's right
in
the name.
Jesus, this one's breakdancing. This is too much.
Von has a little tux, though. Von has a little tux.
How is that horse popping and
the
locking?
The gelding has a little tux.
Those tails are going to get in the way.
You see, it's majestic. Your breath gets caught a little bit as you watch Sebastian dance with these horses.
I turn to Mr. Henry. Mr. Henry. He talks about being very good at a lot of things, and not so much is it true, but this is perhaps true.
This one, I've never seen any man practice something more. It's his passion.
Practice makes perfect, of course, a wizard of
He's got that 10,000 hours.
You see, as this one horse as this one horse pops and locks, you see Sebastian is on its back, just hugging it and sobbing. Oh, it's been hours. It's been hours.
So often we are born to a station that is not our passion.
You see that people out here have straight up busted out like ancient casks of wine from his cellar and are just drinking it freely out in front of the garden.
Yeah, okay.
You see Willie and Marcy and others are out here mingling with the other townsfolk. And you do see that Madame Whitlock has gotten changed out of like her muddy clothes, is back in like her immaculate white. She's gathered a bunch of her belongings in several trunks. She is joining a caravan of the Petty King's knights, led by Petty Jack. You see there are about a dozen of these knights. Looks like Petty Jack was getting ready to leave town, and Madame Whitlock's just going to go with him. You see a lot of these knights are on horseback, and there is one carriage in their procession. You see Madame Whitlock just kind of gives you a cold gaze as she slams the carriage door shut. And they take off.
Fia is distressed and looks for a tall, stout drink.
Fia, you are able to find a tall, stout.
As soon as I get a mustache of foam, the buzz goes to my head and I say, who was I to sentence her to death? It is fine. Who was I to sentence her to death?
Hey, Fia, it's okay. You know, We all have people in our life that we want the best for and want to trust, but you got to just worry about being the best version of you, you know?
I see, you're right. I see exactly what you're saying, Mr. Zerk, and I go jump in the pool.
You see, the cover, the pool cover is still on. You see, Fia.
I get caught in it and jumps thrash into around. It.
She instantly gets wrapped in it and starts thrashing around. And Bookfire goes, "Ah, save her! Save her! My God! Save her! Mr. Henry! Mrs. Zerk!" Oh.
I run over and jump in as well and instantly get stuck.
Oh, Mr. Henry, save them! Mr. Henry!
Okay. I summon Shank into the pool.
Help me! Help! I'm stuck!
It's waiting! It's okay,
Save them! Save them, Mr. Henry! There's three of them!
I'm gonna have to yank on this cover really hard, and my back is definitely pulled, okay? But fine.
If only any of these horses knew how to pull things, but they're all for dancing.
They have a different purpose in life.
I would love to be in a carriage drawn by these dancing horses.
Henry, go ahead and give me...
It took so long to get anywhere.
Go ahead and give me a strength check.
You got it. That is a nat one.
You see, Henry also falls
Marcy!
Into the pool cover as you guys are all...
Is this the end of the choo-choo crew?
Yeah, this might be the end of the choo-choo crew.
I'm pretty sure Henry has like one HP right
yeah,
now.
Okay, Marcy...
I'm going to die.
Marcy is going to run over and try to do a strength check to pull you out. Shout out to the three Cree. Marcy does not fall in, but it's like, you have now caused a scene.
Marcy gets Sib!
Oh no, you see Sib runs over to try to help.
Save yourself, Sib.
Sib rolls a 9 and has a -2 to strength. You see that, I can't get you, don't leave me!
Then at least fall in with
trying
us.
To pull at
so
you.
Ashton! So Ashton! I'm trying!
These horses aren't meant for pulling! You see this one horse is just doing the cha-cha as it like tries to get close to you. I'll try. Sebastian will try with the horse.
That horse is Dougieing.
The horse gets in that one. You see the horse and Sebastian fall in the pool.
At this point, there are so many people in the pool that we have displaced the water.
Yeah, at this point, once the horse and Sebastian fall in, like half of the water goes out of the pool. Everyone's able to fully stand up. Horse is completely 100% okay. Horse Thank gets God. Out first, 100%, immediately begins dancing again.
Well, I mean, I guess as long as we're in the pool, we might as well stay.
Yeah, can you heat this thing up, Zerk, or what?
Oh, yeah.
I inflate a little inflatable koozie.
So you guys heat up what's left of this pool.
Fia, I know you don't like, I know you've got a fear of salt, but can we put some Epsom salt in this thing? It really does wonders on the muscles.
Are you sure it doesn't take your moisture? If you wish to see the end of Via Boginia, put salt in the pool.
I pull out a pepper shaker and I put salt in it and say, oh, no, this is special healing pepper. It's not like salt at all.
Ah, yes, pepper. A witch loves pepper.
Now I'm worried that Fia might be right, sir.
See, Fia does begin to prune and you're instantly worried that...
Okay, we're not testing fate. We are not testing fate. The hot water is all I need. That's fine.
So you guys see after a while, the sun goes down. Party lasts long into the night, and at a certain point you see Sib comes up and joins you guys, puts their feet in the water, leans down and goes, so where are you all off to next?
I think we gotta make our way into the Scaletip Valley.
Yes, we are going to take a boat on the river. Have you ever gone on the river before?
Yeah, I've traveled along the river quite a bit, actually. In fact, if you guys want to follow me, I think I got something that could help you.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
All right,
yeah.
Fia tries to detangle herself from the pool cover unsuccessfully, so she just sort of wears it like a bridal train.
You see Sib takes you off the Baron's property, takes you down like into the woods to an area between the Baron's keep and the public docks. You see there is an area here where the river curves north before heading west out of town. And here you see an old boathouse And you see Sib goes through a ring of keys and opens it. And you see inside this large boathouse a dusty but well-maintained keelboat. It's probably the best kind of vessel you're going to find for navigating a river like this. It has a sail that is currently closed. It's about 50 feet long. It's just one level, but on the deck, you see a few places for rowers to sit, as well as a few sets of oars and a cabin on the far end. Even though there is so much room for, like, you know, there's room for, like, multiple rowers, really, you only need, like, one person to, you know, man a keelboat. So, like, mm-hmm. you'll be okay only, like, one person going at a time. You see that this boat is quite well made. You run your hands along the dark, finished oak.
Splinter.
actually, you don't get a splinter. That's how well made it is.
Wow.
It is beautifully made. You see,
oh, this was here before.
You got that in the battle, but your adrenaline was pumping.
Yeah, from your firebolt.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
The boathouse is not nearly as well built. I think maybe you stabbed yourself on the way in. Yeah, you're bleeding. Oh, my God. You see in the front, more for aesthetics than anything, there's a small water wheel set in the hull. And you see... Sib goes, I owe you all my life, so I'm going to give you the only thing that matters to me. And you see, they pat this boat.
This is your boat?
Go ahead and give me a perception check.
I got a nat one.
Okay. Fia, you can tell that this is Sib's boat and that probably like they ran away from whatever situation they were in this boat, and it means the world to them, and that they are parting with it, and that is heartbreaking and touching. What did you guys get?
I got a 12.
I got a 17.
17. Henry, you fully see the SS Scampi on the side. You see a little rose peeking out of the sails. It is quite clear that Sib just robbed the Baron during the party.
Fia fumbles at the clasp of her ruby necklace and says, I will never be able to repay this, but please take this, and hands the ruby necklace to Sib.
You see Sib takes it and instantly looks super guilty and goes, no, it wouldn't be the same if we traded. You've already given me my life, and so I will give you this. Please don't...
Hey, what's a couple of lives between friends?
You see they hand... They see, like, that Henry kind of knows the score. you see they just slip the necklace into Henry's pocket and then nod towards Fia and goes, thank you. I'll wear it all the time.
Thanks, Sib. You did the right thing.
Thank
you. You're a good coach, Sib.
Hey, and Hank, you did a good job. And I'll just leave it at that, and I won't add anything to that.
Wow.
You know?
Wow. A compliment.
Why, what would you add?
A compliment with no qualifications.
I would just say that he tries so hard that you would think that he would be able to do a little better, but still, just through pure sweat and effort, he's able to do what's sort of a normal
trying
warrior.
Hard is a compliment,
I wish you guys had this conversation after I had turned away. That would have been a better time.
But anyway, let's say on the record, I didn't say any of that. All I said was, you all did a good job.
Good enough for me.
We appreciate it.
Thank you, Sib.
So, are you going to stick around here?
You see, they nod and they go, the rooks are here for the taking, so I'm going to stick around here. Maybe we'll go legit. Maybe we won't. We'll kind of see how the powers that be treat us. But I'll keep on doing what I do, which is steal from the rich and give to myself.
No one's cooler than you, Sib.
As long as you're steering the ship, that is definitely yours, I think things are going to work out A-okay.
This has been in my family for a long time, so everybody be really
careful.
It's
beautiful. It's a beautiful
there.
Vessel.
Thank you.
I will be... What is it called?
It's called the SS...
It says the SS Scampi. Is your mother's name Scampi?
Or is it because you're such a little scamp?
It's because I'm such a little scamp. That's the thing, is that Zerk, you figure it out. Is you're just on the ball. And
interesting.
That's why I respect you, and that's why I like you.
What can I say? Learn from the best.
You see, but I also must ask. My train. Oh, I cannot leave yet. I have to go get stuff from my train. What am I talking about?
Oh, yeah, and we have to take this letter to the rookery.
Yes, of course. Okay, well, we know where this is. Can I have the key?
Yeah, you see, they go, yeah, of course. And the other keys are for my other things.
Do you want those, or do you want it? We're just going to take the full set, huh?
You see, they had originally just thrown you all the keys, and they go, no, right, because this one, of course, is for my house.
How many bikes do you have? This many keys for so many bike locks?
No, I have a lot of family heirlooms and whatnot.
Wow.
Siv, why don't I hang on to this set of keys, and I'm going to send them by raven back to your place, okay?
It's going to be a big raven.
You see, they look down, and they just go, fine.
Oh, I should probably quit. I should quit my job.
We've got a lot of letters to write, okay?
Okay, yeah. Yes. I think I can probably do a 2 weeks notice via letter. I'll just put a bird in the office and people will get it.
Perfect.
Well, thank you for this precious boat. I will not take it for granted. And I promise if I take a sheet, it will be off the side.
I think it's got a head. I think you can shit in the, you know, we'll take a tour and you can shit wherever you
prefer. Yeah, you see Sip goes, try out some options. I've ridden in this boat many times and yeah, we always shit off the side, I think, is normal behavior, I think.
You're starting to do more harm than good, Sip.
That's what we do. Yeah, no.
This is going to ruin my entire trip to Scale Tip Valley.
Isn't that what the boom is for? You can just like shimmy off on the side of the boom and you shit off that?
Yeah.
I've sailed on these.
Like a pigeon on a telephone pole. Right.
No, hey,
I've sailed
Henry
a lot of these shit
one.
That is not.
It's 3-1, Henry, so.
It's not a debate.
I have never been in the water. The closest thing I have come to is getting caught in the pool cover.
Okay, why don't you stay in the center of the boat then?
You see Sib reaches their hand out and they go, if you ever need a favor, don't hesitate to call on the Rooks of Thornkirk.
Careful. We might remember that.
I look forward to seeing what you do with the place.
You see, they nod and head off into the night.
They are so good at disappearing.
They really are. Yeah. But if I was that sneaky, of course I would sneak in and out of every single conversation.
It's amazing that they're so noiseless considering all the daggers on their person.
Yeah, and this big ring of keys. You'd think that would jangle more.
Oh, I have the keys. Do not worry about the keys.
Okay, good.
Okay, I'm going to take a swig from my flask, which I've filled with port now. Wonderful. I'm kind of buzzed. You guys want to hit the rookery and send some drunk scrolls?
I would love to, yes.
Sweet.
I don't really have any other people I know, but, you know, I can just, like, randomly scroll some people.
Everyone I would send a rook to, I want them to stay hidden. So I will actually just maybe prank
prank
people.
Let's send some prank scrolls.
Sweet, you all go to this messenger tower. You see that there's this bird keeper here. You send out the letter to your ex-wife, Henry, asking for help from the capital.
Mr. Zerk, let's send a prank bird to the king.
Oh. Thurston Brightleap?
Oh, I was thinking a non-petty king.
Oh, you want to send a prank bird to the high queen? We should ask her if her cellar door is open.
Yes, we should.
Okay. You write
this stout is really alcoholic. I've had half of one, and I am absolutely gone.
You write a prank letter to the High Queen of the Undermountain Empire.
I guess I whisper to the rookery guy, like, maybe let this one sit until the morning.
Fia is beside herself with giggles.
Sweet. You guys all leave the rookery. You've sent.
Oh, can I also? Can I also write just a thank you note to the Baron along with his keys?
Oh, yeah. Say,
my heartfelt thank you for giving me all the outlets for my hot plate and a cot when I didn't know where else to turn.
Sweet. You give that, you could just give that to a messenger. This person is like the messenger person here in
Thornkirk. So you give them that letter. The other one, you see, they tie it to a raven and send it off.
And I run over to Nebel's office, and I leave my 2 weeks' notice, and I gather up all my supplies and whatnot, and I toss them in a big old bag, and I meet up with the crew.
Sweet. So you leave in your 2 weeks' notice, but we are heading out of town tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, just letting them know.
You do that 2 weeks' notice that you'll be gone for 2 weeks?
And then for the rest of your
life. And then after that, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any dioramas of bodies from the coroner's office?
Dioramas of, you mean like a medical journal?
Or like, like a tiny little sculpture, like.
Yes, so I can look at what the innards look like. I am just a curious, I am cursed with curiosity.
I have this cross-section of a skull.
Yes, that will do nicely.
Sure, yeah, I mean, it's just painted, it's wood, but like, we can take it. It's probably fine.
Yes, you take some little statues and stuff from Dr. Neville's office.
This is a poster that lets you know if you have an ear infection or not. Should we take that?
Yes, that will also be very
You guys
nice.
Rob the doctor's office.
You know, he might have left all this stuff to Zork in his will anyway.
I mean, yeah, if I can honestly, like, if I can snag some components, I'll take them.
Yeah, you can get some, like, common components for alchemy, certainly.
Yeah, I put a 2-week IOU in it.
I owe you 2 weeks' notice.
I owe you 2 weeks of work where I haven't quit yet.
Standard policy.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want, and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here. I'm recording this ad literally hours before going to the airport on a trip to visit some family in New York. And if you're wondering, no, I have not packed my bags yet. Packing stresses me the hell out because I have to do wardrobe math about how many shirts and pants and underwear to bring. And let me tell you, folks, I always get it wrong and I always pack too much. That being said, there is one thing that always goes into my suitcase without a second thought, and that is my Raycon Everyday Earbuds. Raycon offers amazing audio quality at half the price of other premium audio brands. And Raycon's optimized gel tips are designed to fit comfortably in your ears and actually stay there. Which is good because it means I can go on a jog and not worry about them falling out and getting sucked into a sewer grate. Although I guess that's probably how the Ninja Turtles get their earbuds, so if some mutant creature living in the sewer happens to get them, I guess that wouldn't be too bad. But thanks to Raycon, it's not something I ever even need to concern myself with. So if you're also going on a trip soon and are looking to bring along the perfect pair of earbuds, go to buyraycon.com/pawpaw today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That is right, you're going to get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's buyraycon.com/pawpaw. All right, thanks for listening and have a great trip. Bye-bye.
Okay, you want to swing by your train via and pack
a
bindle
or
something?
Yes, I just have to pick up a couple things, but I also want to make sure that maybe Randy can watch the train while we are gone, because we have now all have some personal effects there we might want watched over.
Yeah.
Perhaps that's... Randy and his family can upgrade to all three trains.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. They could put bunk beds in the caboose in case they have more kids.
You see, yeah, you go through the woods. You're able to find Randy's hut with his family. You see a warm fire just outside. You see they're around like the campfire. You see Randy and his wife are playing with the little pup. And you see he turns up and he looks at you and he goes, oh, hey, Fia.
Randy, we are going out of town and we need someone to watch over our trains and shower our house plants.
You're looking for a house sitter?
Yes.
You see he turns to his wife, Ramona. You see she nods excitedly and she goes like, I always loved the train aesthetics. Ever since we moved, I've been looking to get back there. If we could have the whole place to ourselves, are you kidding me?
It would be all yours.
Do you mind if we have a cigar or two from the humidor? Would that be okay?
The humidor? Yes, I can leave the house. You know what? It is for the best that I leave the humidor because there are so many cigars from
different
places.
You don't want to take them out of that temperature control. Yeah, that's they're better.
You
they're
may
better
help
left
yourself
there.
To the humidor, but the baby may not.
Yeah, Henry. Henry looks at the little babe. What's the little one's name? Huh?
Her name is Fang. Right now, we're calling her Little Fang.
Oh, that's very cute.
It's real nice. Real nice. Congrats, guys.
Zerk tries to pet the baby.
You successfully pet the baby. It's like a friendly enough baby. It's very, very young. It like. Kind of nips at you. It's in they kind of only go into human form to go into town. But when they're out here, they're just fully in werewolf form, baby. So this is just a straight up little puppy.
Fia does a little nose nuzzle against the baby. Not for the first time. She knows my scent.
Tears pour from Henry's eyes.
The baby knows you. Fia begins licking your face.
Okay.
And they seem happy to help you out and watch the train.
Okay. All right, then. I suppose it is with heavy heart. I think it is time to go collect what we need from the train and close up for the winter, as it were.
Yeah.
Bookfar, how do you feel about this?
Nervous, miss.
Well, yes, that could be said about anything.
Correct.
That you do.
Just sort of constant nervousness, miss.
Do you think you will miss it, the train?
Yes, very much so, miss.
Is there anything that you would like to bring, Bookfar? Perhaps your pizza paddle?
I was going to say, if I'm with you, miss, I'm always on the train. But yes, I will take my pizza paddle.
Okay, then I guess Fia goes back into her train. She gets the pizza paddle. I'm trying to look at my notes to see if there is a book I want to bring other than the ones I normally have.
You definitely have, like, maps and stuff here, like geography books of, like, the outer borough and things like that that you can grab to help you navigate the rivers and whatnot.
Yes, I do. I will look for, because I do have a series of atlases and maps,
yeah.
But they sometimes wander off and get bigger. So I want to know if any of them have wandered back.
Go ahead. Give me a pure luck check.
18.
You see that not only has your atlas come back, it has gotten bigger.
Wow.
Yes, your breadth of knowledge grows.
Are you going to introduce us?
Oh, yes, here. It does not have a name or a voice. It is just a book, but it sometimes wanders away and then comes back with new maps on it.
Wow, an explorer.
Yes, it is an explorer. I think I will also take my autobiography of Miroslav the Mesmer.
Okay.
Just because I was halfway through it. So I've just got 6 books with me. This is nothing. and then I go to my humidor, which I have promised to leave. So I do not bring it, but I do open a little false bottom of the humidor to reveal 2 little trinkets that I wish to bring with me. One is a little earring that has a little astrolabe on it that belonged to Betild. And then another is just a little chain that once hung from a necklace. And I just take that, put it in, and then I think I have everything that I look at the bookshelf, I say, take care of yourself, everybody. Everybody get along while I am gone.
You hear them go, we'll be good, miss.
I can't can't believe they were watching me sleep.
And then I leave and I don't lock the door.
Sweet.
All right, guys.
I think that's everything I need, yes.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm old hat at skipping town. So.
Yes, you travel light.
Usually I'm heading out by myself, but it feels all right to be hitting the road with some friends. Maybe my luck won't run out this time.
I think your luck looks as though it's turning over a new leaf.
I like that.
Yeah, Henry, I gotta say that normally when I would leave town, people were a lot more angry at me than they are here. So.
Oh, you run away from your problems too.
What?
Yeah.
You are not born in Thornkirk? You did not be born in Thornkirk? You are not
No, yeah, remember what we said about, like, the truth session on the boat? Yeah, I've got a lot to talk about.
Cool, I got two more flasks of port, so we're gonna have a night. Don't worry about it.
Okay. So you guys gather up your stuff. You all go to this boathouse. You pull your boat out of the little boathouse and you set it on the river. There is a
Thea
slow...
Thea very nervously puts her boot on the boat, very scared.
It's definitely very steady. It's a slow but steady current heading west. And you guys pull your boat out. Once you are on the water, Henry pulls down the sail. You guys feel a strong autumn breeze guides the boat, and for now at least, you don't need to row at all.
This is a favorable wind here.
And for the night, you're not even really going to use the map. It's a straight shot. You know that there's like a network of rivers through the Undermountain Empire. Many of them are man-made, and they go through different... some of them are more popular kind of trade routes. Other require like smaller boats like this. But for now... the only thing to do is to kind of follow the river and wait. So you guys are here. You're on this boat. Cool autumn night. And you see the sprites are out in full force, lighting the sky like little stars.
Spritel, you want to go say hi?
You see Spritel zips up and joins a bunch of other sprites in the sky.
Oh, God, they're gone.
I mean, they are kind of like light pollution, right? I kind of want to see the actual stars. Okay, I won't press the issue.
Can everyone dim for 1 second?
And you guys also see, there's a cabin. You guys are lucky that the Fenros family had three people in it, same as your traveling party. You see that there are three single beds in here, and like a little desk to work at. It's a little cabin. There's no like below deck area on this, but it's certainly like a nice enough area. And you see there is a little hatch below deck, and down there you do find some provisions. You find a bit of gold. You find like a little chest. With some money in it.
Nice.
You find some like gold and silver that we won't deal with, like the silver or the copper or anything. We'll say it amounts to about 150 gold.
Is that the precise amount it takes to make a homunculus?
I think it takes less than that, right?
Only 100 gold, yeah.
There you go, yeah. So there's about 150 gold down here. You also see a few like casks of wine and ale and like a little bit of like dried out food. This almost seems like kind of an emergency vessel for the Fenroses.
Damn, look at all these stores. That's great.
Wow.
Fia,
oh, this is great.
Going to town on some dried apricots.
Okay. You know what? Fuck it. Let's not even ration that. Go ham on those things. Is there like a little nightstand or something next to any of these cots?
Yeah, you see there's like little ledges that are like near each one.
Cool. Can I slip the ruby necklace into one and say, Fia, this looks like your cot over here.
I was going to sleep on the deck under the stars. I love the silver of the moonlight.
Okay, perfect. I put the ruby necklace back in my pocket.
But I do need somewhere to put all my books, so I put them all there.
Oh, okay. All right, put the necklace back in.
Mr. Henry, can I ask you, this is not your first time in the water?
No, yeah, I grew up by the water, and I actually... I was lucky enough to be not the first mate or the second mate, but the third mate on a ship a couple years back. Yeah.
You see nothing but awe in Fia's eyes.
That's the level of respect I always thought I'd earn when I was third mate.
It's true. You knew to duck your head when you went into the cabin, and I just banged my head right up against the door sill.
You bonked it.
He's also a little shorter than us, Mr. Zerk.
That might be it.
Only a little.
You see, Bookfar pipes up, and he goes, Mr. Henry, where were you a third mate?
Yes. Did you see the ocean?
Yeah, I used to work on a merchant ship. Out there in the capital.
Wow. What sort of wares did you peddle?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, anything there was a demand for, we shipped it, because, you know, those oceans aren't very safe. Those are some of the best years of my life out there on the open sea, in between horrors. But
may I ask why you decided to leave then?
You know, it wasn't really entirely up to me. Sometimes when the captain is like kind of a shithead, all the sailors, all the workers, there's a little bit of a mutiny, as it were, where they turn on the captain. And sometimes everyone, instead of turning on the captain, turns on Henry. And that's vaguely what happened.
There is a Henry on every boat?
No, they're just me. Why did they
turn on you, sir?
Well, they were originally turning on the captain, and I thought it was my duty as the first mate to let the captain know. The third mate, right. So the first mate was the mate that I wanted to be, so I'm trying to climb this ladder here.
So you went over a couple people's heads.
So I went over some people's heads trying to earn my position, doing what was right, what you're supposed to do. When there's a mutiny, you're supposed to tell the captain, but then the captain, he kind of told on me because I was a little piss boy informant kind of thing.
Did he make an example of you as a show of force?
He made an example kind of everybody. He turned the whole entire crew out, and then I thought that, I'd be in good standing with him, but then he also turned me out for being a rat. And wasn't allowed on my ship, wasn't allowed with my crew. I didn't really have anything going on. And
so now you're the first mate of your own life.
I never looked at it like that, and I think I never will.
Okay. Mr. Henry, I've spent a lot of time with bats and rats, and they're actually quite nice.
Really?
Hmm.
What are some of a rat's best qualities?
Well, they are very good at foraging.
They're smart. Mm-hmm.
They're smart.
They'll eat
they're
you.
They're fast, good at foraging, and they have an excellent poker face.
Yeah, great plague carriers, too.
Yes, they are very good at transmitting messages and plagues.
You hear Bookfire pipes up. Mr. Henry, is your son in the capital?
No, my boy lives... over in West Precinct, in Siren Lock. That was where I ended up after I, what's a nicer word than saying ran away from the capital?
Chased out of town?
Chased out, when I was chased out of town. Yeah, sure. That isn't exactly nicer, but yeah, that is what happened. I was chased out of the capital, wound up in Siren Lock where I had my boy.
May I ask you a question? You may not answer if you don't wish to. By what means were you separated from your son?
Well, I first met Izzy when I got my job working at the docks over there by the lake. My wife Isabel, or my ex-wife Isabel, or my never was my wife because the marriage was erased from
you have a never wife.
A never wife, yeah.
I see.
You know, I think she was rebelling against her dad. Her dad was my boss. And he didn't like her liking me, so that made her like me a little bit more. And eventually, maybe she just started to believe him that I was a piece of shit. And she was always being chased by this noble guy. And eventually, he must have won her over. I'm not sure how. But the upshot is that I lost her. And I lost my boy.
Zerk isn't really sure how to respond to this level of emotional discourse, so he just heats up some stones and puts them on Henry's back.
That feels good.
Yeah. Just let it out.
But look, I'm talking too much. I'm yapping like an idiot. What about you guys?
Yes, Mr. Zurich. Why did you get chased out of a town? And where were you before you were here?
Well, I've kind of been all over. Before I was in Thornkirk, I used to travel with my mom. She was kind of a medicine woman isn't exactly the right term. More of a snake oil salesman.
Snakes have oil?
Ah, I love snake oil. It's so good for your cuticles.
Oh, yeah, it's great for that, but not so much good for any other purpose. Yeah, she would basically sell bum potions from town to town in the outer and inner boroughs, and I would help her. And then, you know, we went to one town, and we were hawking this all-cure elixir, and it went a little worse than it normally does. I still don't really know. Normally, the potions don't have too much of an effect at all. They just kind of, you know, make you feel good. They've got like a little bit of heroin or cocaine in them just to like pep you up just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little bit of laudanum. Just a little bit.
Mr. Zurich, you have tried cocaine and heroin and you never tell us?
I mean, we never tried the product. I mean, my mom made me try it once, but just once. And that's all I had.
Wow. Dude, heroin with your mom and you don't tell us about that?
Just
your
one
mom
time
and
I did
fucking coke with your mother?
Why you not tell us this kind of stuff?
That's what this is all about. You know what? We're on the boat with the moon as our witness. And we're getting it right. We're getting tonight. It real. So I don't know what happened. It was just one town out of 1,000. And the more towns we went to, the more I started to realize what we were doing and how wrong it was. And I thought, maybe I can fix this. Maybe I can actually make the potion work. And I don't know if it was something I did, something I put in it that changed the all-cure elixir, or if it was something my mom did, but a lot of people got sick. I don't really know what happened after that because we fled. And that's just something I've lived with and something I'm always gonna have to live with.
How long ago did that happen?
Long enough ago that I should have known better.
You haven't seen your mom since then?
No.
What was the last thing that you said to her? Did you tell her you were leaving?
I told her I hope that she can find a way to be better, because that's what I'm leaving to do.
Well, Mr. Zurich, I have witnessed you helping many sick and hurt people already, and I have known you for but a beggar's handful of days.
A 2 weeks' notice.
I've known you for a 2 weeks' notice. Not even. We are.
It's colloquial.
Probably not even. So I think that you seem to be balancing the scales, to borrow a metaphor that I wish not to borrow.
I know what you mean.
You've done wonders for my lumbar issue.
Thank you. Thank you, Henry. I gotta say, when I'm with you, I feel a little less bad about myself and a little more inspired to help. So, you know, I think whatever we've got going on here, it's really working for me.
I know you enjoy to be a coroner, but I wonder if your talents are wasted on the dead, because I think you are good at preventing people from dying.
Yeah, mostly the coroner's job is just like pumping out the blood and putting lipstick on people, and like that's fine getting them ready for the funeral and whatnot, but yeah,
well, damn, I could do that.
I do feel a calling.
I was going, Mr. Zurich, maybe it is forward, but sometime will you get me ready for a funeral?
Do you want me to like put makeup on you while you sleep? What are you asking?
And yeah, just the makeup, not the blood thing. You do not want him pumping out your blood or anything.
Leave my blood in, but you could put lipstick on me and maybe, I could be like
Bookvar pipes up. Maybe he'll die before you, miss, because you're younger. So why would you die, miss?
What? I'm not talking about dying. I'm not talking about dying. I'm talking about like we are going to a bar, and I've got my best book, and I'm ready to go to the bar, and maybe like Mr. Zurich,
you just want a makeover
on me.
Oh, okay. A makeover moment.
You are gonna be dead. Oh
no, she just wants a sleepy makeover.
Yeah,
she wants a slumber party makeover.
Sure.
I just want to wake up with a full face of makeup.
She wants a wakeover, is what it is.
A wakeover.
I woke up like this, hashtag.
Well, I usually only sleep for about 4 hours a night, so when I wake up, I'll be sure to give you a wakeover.
Thank you so much, Mr. Zerk.
Of course.
I bat my lashes.
Oh, I've got a lot of work to do. Henry, looks like your flask could use freshening.
Yeah, and Fia, it looks like you need a light there on that new cigar.
Oh, yes, if you wouldn't mind. Yes, yes.
You wanna tell us your story? We're all sharing.
Yes, I can. I get. I mean, what you want to know? I don't know what to tell you.
Why don't
what
we start at the? Story? You want to start at the beginning? Because you know, you don't often meet somebody that just lives in a couple trains. How'd you?
Yeah, were you born in the trains?
How'd you find your way to the train station? Huh?
I was born in a town, a village, a bit away from this. I was actually a Reaper preacher's daughter.
Whoa.
Wow, thank you for the
daughter
little
of a preacher,
I
man.
I smell like alcohol now.
Starting to wake over early, I guess.
I guess you could say when I was born, it was at the expense of my mother's life, which, please do not look at me with sad eyes for this, because, you know, this is life. The greater tragedy is what it did to my father. I think it radicalized him. So he was the town preacher, and he was very, very stern, because he wished for salvation. I thought for a long time he just wants to make sure that me and him and mother can meet each other again in paradise, and this is why he is so stern. But when I was young, I had a girlhood best friend named Rina, and
you mentioned her.
Yes, she was, well, she was very magical. She was not, you know, magical like me. She did not have to study, practice, stick her nose in books like I do. It just kind of flowed from her very effortlessly. In fact, when I knew her, I did not have a spell to my name, really. I was not magical at all. The most magical thing about me was her, probably. And I knew, I was very aware that this was not allowed with the Reaper, but it was so natural and right the way she did magic, so I didn't say anything. And we did it in secret, of course, because, you know, it is magic. You cannot do this in a Reaper village. But one day, specifically the day that she made Bukvar here.
No way.
Whoa.
Yes, the day that she made Bukvar, we had gone into the woods, and I had a little journal to press flowers in, and Irina stole it from me and ran around, and I chased her, and by the time I got the book back, it was Bukvar.
Wow.
And he was so silly and so nervous and so cute that I lost track of time. I did not hear the dinner bell, and so my father came out to find us in the woods, and he saw the magic, and he thought it was the work of the trickster. He was very angry, and he grabbed me. He blamed it all on Irina, and he said that she was cursed by the trickster, and she would corrupt me. And he said I was to go to a convent, and she was to go to the scales. And I don't know what to say. I am not a hero by any means, but I foolishly thought if I could send her in my place, he would not put me in hers. So I smuggled her onto the carriage that was meant for me, and I gave her the most valuable thing I had so that she could buy freedom. And I thought that my father would not hold me to what he was going to do to Irina. But I was wrong, and my father was more than eager to see me take her place on the scales. So the place where you see Sib yesterday, I was there once, with my father on the other side. But in a twist of fate, a perfect moment of perfect timing, somehow this witch, Batilda, appeared. Or rather, didn't appear because she was magical. So she was invisible and she saved me from the scales. And she whisked me away to the train because it was her train. It was not mine. It is her train. And there she began to teach me magic. And I guess that is as much as I can say. That is everything I know.
I'm not going to look at you with sad eyes, as you requested. I am going to turn my head over this way and just see the bend in the river quickly.
No, it is not sad because I am safe and Irina is somewhere and Batilda is alive, and so we're all alive. And even if we're all in danger, we're all eventually going to be safe. So it is not sad. The person you should pity is my father.
You're right.
Yes, because we, right now, are all on a boat, smoking cigars and drinking wine with our friends. And what could be nicer than that?
Nothing.
This is the first time in a long time when I'm excited to be going somewhere new.
And I thought Batilda had just left me out of boredom. I thought she was just a blade who just decided to leave me. But now I know she's maybe out there. And we can find her and get her back.
Yeah, and you know, this is no small thing to me either. I've never been the captain of my own boat before. So hey, maybe old me was right and we are pretty close to breaking that old curse, huh?
Wait.
Curse?
What? What curse?
Right. Oh, I forgot to tell you guys. When I when I went down.
You have a pool, a sun, and a curse.
I do have a curse.
And
I...
you lead with hot plate.
Is there a hot plate on this thing? Is there a plug? I just need a three pronger.
I mean, we can set something on fire and just kind of watch the fire.
Mr. Henry, what is this curse you speak of?
You know, I am not entirely sure, but I do know that I saw a really, decrepit old version of myself who said that we were close to breaking the curse. I saw a couple things I wish I didn't see, me mm-hmm. kind of being a jackass across some memories that I have and some that I didn't remember, but, you know, I was definitely there, if that makes any sense.
This is very interesting to me because I know two things. One, Batilda told me that there is such thing as reincarnation. Two, I work in a magic that deals with alternate timelines. I wonder which plagues you.
Jesus. Could it be
or
both?
Or supports you.
I don't feel very supported.
You are starting to have a very good relationship with this other shadow self.
Yeah, and I don't really have any magic that can... divinate that, but I do have a nice under eye cream that can help you with those craggy lines you're experiencing.
You talking to me or Shank?
Maybe we give this old version of Henry a makeover and then he go away.
You can do it.
Shank appears out of the shadow and pops up and goes, "Hey, I don't really know anything about old Hank. Sometimes I just turn into him and I know different stuff, but me, I'm just Shank."
So we're dealing with upwards of three Hanks is what we're seeing.
Yes,
here.
So this is a different one. Okay.
It's a Hank trick for sure.
Wow. Shank, you get a potato skin for that one, buddy.
Thanks.
I'll get the
buddy.
Lantern. Well, I guess let's be on the lookout for any more curse signs. If you have any flashbacks, I guess, you know what? A lot of people keep a dream journal. Maybe you could keep a curse journal.
A flashback journal. Mr. Henry, I am beginning a journey of dealing with time a little more. And I will keep a lookout in my books when they give me access to their knowledge.
Okay, yeah, that'd be helpful.
I don't know what I will turn up, and also my books are quite hostile.
You hear Philip pipe up and go, "I'm not telling you shit."
Okay, that's what you say now. Then you beg to be read.
You don't even want to read me.
I will keep an eye out for you, and maybe on this river we will find some place that we can talk to someone who know something about these.
Yeah, okay.
Thornkirk is very small and Eldermorn is very big.
And there's a lot of kooky shit going on all over the place here. We can probably find someone that knows a little more.
That all sounds good. But you know, now that I think about it, this boat probably doesn't need a cursed captain, so maybe I should be like first mate, a second mate, third mate even. I'd be happy with any of that.
I like my captain's cursed.
Maybe we should all be third mate. That way there's no chance of a mutiny.
I put my hand on Zerk's shoulder.
That's true, yeah. If anyone is the captain, yeah.
No more mutinies, huh?
Or maybe Bukvar should be the captain.
I'm okay with that.
Because then if we have a mutiny, we're all on the same side, and I can just resummon him when we're not mad at him anymore.
And it'd be weird to have more than three third mates, I think.
That's true.
Bukvar, would you like to be the captain?
You hear a quiver in his voice.
Yes, miss.
I salute Bukvar.
I go to work on making a tiny little hat for Bukvar.
You see,
it's got a little anchor right on there.
Bukvar flaps up into the sky just above you guys, and he goes, "Okay, crew, to Innerborough."
To Innerborough.
I put my hand on the helm.
And the choo-choo crew now. Now the riverboat crew.
The boat buds.
With Fia smoking so many cigars, you'd swear it was a steamboat.
The three of you.
Steam team.
The three third mates travel along the river as the sprites light the sky, and you are off on your next adventure. And that is where we will end our session.
Oh, baby. Oh.
Eldermorn, tell us your secrets.
Riverboat.
Oh, what a sweet one. My goodness.
That was a real cute one.
What a sweet ending.
Very I feel lovely. Warm.
Thank you all so much for listening. You can listen to us talk about this sweet little episode over on our Patreon. Patreon.com/nadpod. That's N-A-D-D-P-O-D. Don't sing. Yeah.
We are.
I didn't even do it.
Oh, sorry. You glitched out. I didn't hear.
Does anybody have anything to plug?
I would like to plug peace and goodwill towards all men.
There we go.
That's nice.
Hey, and women and inclusive, people. Inclusive.
There we go. Goodwill towards everyone.
There we go.
We will be back next week. We're going to be doing another Donkey Kong holiday special against my best judgment.
That's goodwill. That is goodwill for everyone.
Yes. So this is goodbye to the Eldermorn crew for now. But we have some exciting announcements about Eldermorn in the coming weeks.
Maybe.
Some fun stuff coming up. So be on the lookout for that.
Maybe. Unless you don't want them.
Unless, you don't, unless
won't.
You don't want that.
Yeah.
Then,
that's always an option.
Yeah. I don't like it, but it's an option.
it's a sad option.
You can follow us all on Twitter at CHMurph is me, at Caldy's Caldwell, at eAxford is Emily, and at Jaker, which is Jake. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are. The youth of a nation.
How are we not getting better? It's the end of the show, everybody, and that means I need to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders, starting with Brad D., Jeffrey S., Haldor Frostback, Steelbreaker, and Matt M., the Baron's personal team of horse groomers. No one else in all of Eldermorn knows how to give a horse a pedicure, mostly because they've never tried, but still, it's pretty impressive. Jordan DJ, Cutter W., Jibe G., Zolo Dolo, and Dylan B., recipients of Zerk and Fia's prank Raven messages. Currently, all of them are writing back to let the crew know that there are no Seymour Butts at their respective addresses. Schubert the Mushroom, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Andrew M., Beardman Dan, and Scott D., new rooks recruited by Sib for their all-new crime organization. Scott D. suggested they call themselves the Rookies and promptly received a warning stab from Sib. Danny P., Elena C., Mixologist Michael McD., and Balnor's Boy, Randall, the werewolf's extended family who promptly moved into Fia's train as soon as Randall got the all clear. They all collectively clogged the toilet and bathtub within 15 minutes of their arrival. Andrew B., Justin I., TJM the Gnome Barbarian, Elena M., Trele the Crayfay, and Jared E., River Bandits, who were planning on attacking the Choo Choo crew but were so touched by their heartfelt backstories that they decided to turn themselves in. Christopher B., Austin Bonesaw MR, Daniel R., Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, and Octo Lich, agents of the Queen of the Undermountain Empire, who have been dispatched to track down and destroy the foul tricksters who have been sending her prank ravens. Gage M., Skokilla, Destin C., Richard X. Machina, Michael L., and Kelvin Noodles, local chefs who are currently engaged in a bidding war over the corpse of the Toadlamax. Whoever wins will rule the Eldamorn escargot market for years to come. Sergio, Salazar, Solomon, Zacharias de Sequani, Tras the Traveler, Jory S., Dana G., Caleb L., and Ryan, the Fergus fans, who are taking this one to heart. They're currently split between exacting revenge in the name of their fave or just hopping on the Zerk bandwagon. Jack L., Flawless Whale, Temporal, Sam L., Nicholas C., and Reese NS, the Shadow Players, a troop of shank-like shadows that put on shadow plays, no campfire needed. Samuel B., Mike H., Matthew E., Colton B., and Adam G., Eldermorn's most popular beer sellers. They make all Fia's favorite stouts, but they also make a pale ale that is confusingly named Sprite. Mateo C., Nabadger, Panama James, Adrian the Halfling Bard, and John H.N., Petty Jack's crew of friends. They aren't particularly excited that he's been released from the dungeons, because hanging out with Petty Jack often ends with his friends bursting into flames. Dan, Nikki W., Drew Nasty, and CC Lulu, Sprite Contract Litigators. The scariest part about breaking a Sprite contract isn't the evil sprites that come after you, it's their lawyers. Jay, Barnesinator, Douglas A., Michelle O., the architects behind Weddings by Whitlock, Madam Whitlock's post-crime career. Turns out she's just going to harmlessly become a wedding planner. Ritterin, Timmy R., Lucas B., Aaron S., and Kevin M., the Little Fangs, an Eldermorn youth troop dedicated to starting wizardry young. These tweens can already throw fireballs, if you can believe it. Austin C., Hogfish's Above Average Hog, New York, Stephen C., and KJ, Fergus's lifting buddies who will no doubt miss the intensity he brought to the workouts, but will definitely not miss his shitty personality. Raul N., Mike K., Maxwell C., and Nick L., famous dressage jockeys known as the Four Horsemen of the Pop and Lockalypse. They taught Sebastian everything he knows. Karen T., Ekathor 666, Justin Raccoon, Nick W., Michael C., Eldermorn hippies who founded the Save the Toadlamax Foundation. They tried to save the horror from being used in Sib's execution ceremony, but in an ultimate act of irony, the Toadlamax ate them. Esme M., Spartagnus, Nathan, Casimir the All-Knowing, and Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Thornkirk citizens who made Elder People magazine's top 10 angriest bachelors in all of Thornkirk. With Fergus's death, they've all been bumped up a slot. Nice. Eric McD., Jack Meehoff, Burley T., Axel A., Nero, Claudius Caesar, Augustus Germanicus, and Christian A., the lifeguards at the party who neglected to warn the guests not to jump in the pool while the cover is on. To be fair to them, though, they'd had a lot of port. J. Dragonborn, Jonathan O., the Sandraean, Ben A., and Feldonis, a bunch of partiers at the Baron's Keep who also stole a set of keys and fell asleep in the riverboat's cargo hold. Boy, are they going to be surprised when they wake up. Dave H., Catherine S., David K., Christian S., Keith K., and Brittany B., a crew of pirates with no captain, they're all sixth mate, and every decision is voted on, including whether or not to shit off the side of the ship. Kyle H., Emilio D., Frankie Koala, Big Bad John, Aston S., and Blair the Bug Blair Barblarian all received some drunken Raven scrolls. Most ignored the scribbly "you up" text, but Frankie at least responded, "New bird, who dis?" Ponk Chop, Chanel M., Argent, Alice, Minette F., and Pat L., pool cover repair people who really shouldn't be able to make a living entirely on the Baron's pool cover, but somehow people just keep destroying it. Lauren H., Janina E., Maddie Y., the eldest Barry, and Ryan S., SS Scampi's old crew. They're all pretty thankful the ship was stolen because they had to do a lot of maintenance on that boat considering how many dancing horses were always trotting on board. The Bone Duster, Joshua H., Robit CRSP, Idrisil, and Brentley C., books Fia left in her bookshelf. They're slightly offended, but at the same time, the train car is so cozy, and they're kind of happy to get to live with a super cute werewolf cub. Micah B., Carly Ann, Clark of the Thunderfucks, Jorge C., and Connor Savage, Zerk's replacements who are totally left in a lurch since there's no one there to train them. Just a note that says, you've got this. B-Chef, Russell H., Christopher J.O., Cole, the Goldfish Gremlin, Logan S., and Benjamin S.K., Glass Willie's new coaches. They thought the kid might have promise, but when they watched as he sprained his fingers while lacing up his boots, and now they know they're fucked. Leviathan, DeMay A., BioQuirt 7, Remington CD, Mike R., and Everett P., Madam Whitlock's only remaining goons. Little does she know that DeMay A. just ordered their own parasol and is fully planning on taking over. Godspeed. Thank you all so much for listening. You can head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod, to listen to our after show. In the meantime, thank you to all of our listeners, all of our Patreon subscribers, and of course, all of our benevolent Council of Elders. We'll catch you all next time.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.